Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
I'm going to invite Pastor Tim to come on up. Everybody welcome him as he comes. And I want all of us to stand because we're going to pray for him, okay? We're going to pray for the message that he will deliver for us today. And so if you don't like it, it's your fault. You prayed for it, all right? I'm just kidding. Father, thank you so much for Pastor Timothy and the amazing leader he is, not just as an example to us here in Brisbane, but globally, the impact that he and Teresa have made in our movement and across the body of Christ. We just really count it an honor to have him here, your servant. And so we want to open our hearts and open our lives to how you might speak through him to impart to us today. Bless him, Lord. Bless his family, we pray, and we just come excited to hear what you have to say for us in Jesus' name. Everyone shout it, amen. Pastor Timothy Lowe, everybody.
Amen, amen. Woo. Well, so good to be here. So Nelly, the word first, then the worship as well. Now I got it. Okay. All right. I just want to bring greetings to you from Malaysia. And I always said this wherever I go, that if you have never been to Malaysia, this is one of the better versions of how Malaysian is. This is, no, I'm just kidding, okay? But right in front of me, you got David. David over there. David is the best version of the Malaysian, okay? David and Dory, okay? But today, help me to welcome my good friend, Joey and Caroline, or Liang Zi, that's what we call them. You know, right after this, next week, or this coming week, Monday, we're going to kind of go into their place and messed up their house. And so good to really have them here, okay? I just want to say that if any one of you who have never been to Malaysia, I just want to make a welcome, you know, please visit us. And when you come, we will do our best to have a meal with you, serve you, host you, whatever. And I tell, everywhere I go, I tell people this, okay? No matter which country you go to, it's incomplete until you visit the Every Nation Church. But it's incomplete until you get to visit the Every Nation Church over there, okay? So I want to begin by really honoring Pastor Nelly and Tina, you know, for their friendship. Yesterday night, we were just hanging out. And my son was intrigued by how they both met. So he kept pursuing the male version and the female version so that they get, you know, how they met. And but, you know, as we were just talking about how we met, and there were just key defining moments that connect us together. The conversation I had with Tina when she went to Malaysia, that eventually she went to Singapore, eventually he went to Singapore and they connected. You know, oh, when we kind of retrace back, you know, there's one thing that you cannot deny. Is God is the engineer and architect that put lives together. Not so that you are able to enjoy each other, I think that's huge, so that you can do greater things together for God. So we have a saying in our movement, and I know company, everyone use that saying, which is better together, and we are really better when we learn how to serve together, dream together, accept each other, and just believe God for the bigger things, okay? So my family are here with me. I have, first of all, the digital version, and then I've got the real life version, okay? So would my family please stand, you know, so that my wife, Teresa, elder son, Joel, Joash, Jaden, and then Joanna, okay? So they are all ate the same food, but they all came out all very different thing, very different feel, very different. And I will always equate this, okay? You know, I'll tell people this. When you pray to God, you just have to be you. And I always illustrated with all my four children, the way they pray to me, no, the way they ask things from me, or the way they approach me, are all unique by themselves. So, for example, my eldest son, he's a statistician. Everything is statistic. If he wants to buy a handphone, he will bring a statistic and say, "Dad, you know, how many 16-year-old and above have a handphone? This is the American statistics. This is the Malaysian. He will give you all the statistics to tell you why I should believe in what he wants. My second son is extremely logical. He said, "Dad, I need a handphone because with a handphone, I can help you earn money. I can then do a video of my playing drums." And by the way, he's a full-fledged musician, you know, and then he will come very logical, just really like a lawyer. My third son is emotional. That, I just need a phone. That if only I have a phone, then I will thrive, and a phone will change my life. And you know, my daughter is the queen. She will come and say, "Dad, I need a phone." I'm just kidding. Okay, Dad, if you love me, I need a phone. Okay, I'm just kidding. Okay, you know, every one of them approach me very differently, and I always tell people, that's the way you go before God. You be you, and that's why prayer. It's so incredible, personal, and powerful, okay? I don't know why I did that to introduce my son, but I just want you to know that these are four different pictures of our four new church plant. We started our endemic January this year by having four church plant, and it's a long, massive story to talk about how the 2 years of pandemic allow us to recalibrate and rethink through maybe the trajectory of our church plan. And with that, we found there's almost 10 different locations that we thought it was strategic because it's a regional space, which means that it serves a couple of townships. Number two, it has a college presence. Number three, it had a strong community presence. So with that, we decided to launch at least four of them for this year. And I just want you to know that ever since that we stepped out to do that by faith, not only the church plant is growing, even the one that we sent out maybe about 100 over to 200 people, and even our HQ itself is, we are running out of space right now. So in fact, I'm supposed to do a video this weekend to address the church of the different time zone for us to do the additional services that we are planning out. So I just want you to know that God is doing a great things, and no other better joy to be able to partner with God for this. Okay, now, just a little bit more for the flesh. these are some of the great food, okay? I just want to say that Malaysia, it's one of the best place for food. Number one, is very cost effective. I wanted to say cheap, but you know, cheap sounded like a very, you know, not good. But it's not. It's really nice and it's really affordable. So if you come to Malaysia, we will spoil you with all the different kind of food. Okay. Pastor Nelly asked me to talk about on the job. And he wanted a kind of a series to help us to think about what we do in the marketplace and how we can actually shine for God. You know, there's this always tension between what we call the sacred and secular divide. So many of us, we think that what we do on Sunday is what we do for God, and what we do Monday to Saturday is what we do for the world. And we naturally have that mindset. So I have a lot of people that during Sunday, they have the Christian language. They praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good morning, Pastor. And then Monday, they have the S word and the F word, and they change their language. Once in a while, on a Sunday, they, oops, oh, sorry, it's sleep. Oh, I don't know where they come from, you know, but it comes from right within you, right? So we have this circular and sacred divide mindset consistently. I think it was someone who said that the first Reformation was to return faith to the people, but the second Reformation was to return faith to the marketplace. Is to take faith and bring it back to our everyday life. And the way we talk about marketplace is a big space. It is not just what you do in your workplace. It is also for housewives who actually work at home. Any space outside of the four walls of the church, any space outside of the four walls of your house is really the marketplace, because that's where trading happens. That's where transaction happens. When you go and buy fish, the fish is not fresh. I mean, is that godly? You know, there's just so many things to talk about, this entire thing about honoring God in your marketplace. So I've got one of my church members just to help you to illustrate, the sacred and secular divide thinking. One of our church members, he recently bought a sport car. And so on that day when he came to church, he drives his old car. And I look at him and say, "Hey, where's your sport car?" He said, "Oh, sorry, Pastor, today is Sunday. Sunday, I drive this car. But Monday, I drive my sport car." Okay, so, you know, we have this thinking that anything to do with the world, the moment I bring it to church, it means it's, you know what I'm saying? So I just want you to know that that does a great disservice for us to really understand what God wants to do. So what I'm going to do is this, okay? I'm going to use this verse to kind of capture. I want to use the concept of a good fight. So it was Paul at the end of his life in prison. And if you know, that was his second imprisonment, or it's third or the fourth, depending on whether you look at Jerusalem, Caesarea, as the first and second imprisonment before the Rome, and then before he was released, go to Spain, and then caught again, and then came back. And at his last imprisonment before he was beheaded in AD 57, somewhere around that time, okay? Or 60, I can't recall. Anyway, he was in prison, and he wrote this to Timothy. He says, I fought the good fight. And I can imagine in Paul's mind, when he said he had fought a good fight, finished the race, he had kept the faith, he thought about his 50. Well, he served God for about 30 over years, so he would have died maybe at about 60 age, kind of a bit old, rugged, tired, went through so much. He would have reflected his life. He reflected the days before he knew God. His job was to persecute Christians, and he did that very well. I'm sure he get bonuses every year because he is professional in persecuting Christians. He puts so many imprisonment. Every head count, he gets some commission. I'm sure he does that, okay? And then he met God, changes his entire marketplace job. He then became a minister of God, and you knew the history, right? He went to the West and three missionary journey together with Spain, potentially four. And then he totally changed and eventually became a critical person that even affected the Western civilization, so to speak. So that's Paul, right? He would have reflected his entire 30, 40 years of working. And he said, I have finished the race. I've kept my faith. I fought a good fight. Every one of us is going to spend 30 to 40 years of our life at the marketplace. It depends, okay? I know some of you retire very early, maybe because of Bitcoin. Or some of you work extra years because of Bitcoin as well. So depending on which bit, whether he beats you or you beat him. Okay, anyway. But the truth and the reality is this. When you think about, you're going to step into the marketplace for the next 30, 40 years, starting from a junior guy who knew nothing, all to become a mid-management and eventually potentially a senior manager or some of us business owner. You are going to have 30, 40 years of stories to tell. In that 30 to 40 years, you're going to fight. Some of us fight over your salary. Some of us fight over what your bosses said, and you became so bitter, and you're so angry, and you live the rest of your life wanting to prove your boss wrong. Some people enter into a marketplace. So I met like not too long ago, just maybe a couple of weeks before I traveled to Australia, I met one of our church members who grew up from a very wealthy family, but the dad never felt the affirmation from his dad. He felt the dad was always pro the brother, but not him. So he told me in tears, he says, you know, Pastor, why I work so hard? And he's a developer, he's an entrepreneur. I mean, he's rather successful. And then he says, I did all of this because I wanted my dad's affirmation that in fact, he says, my goal is I want to outperform my dad. And I look at him. I say, is this what you want? So you work so hard day and night. You have this, trying to move into development and had his own company and trying to do three different businesses. I said, you did all of that and your single motivation is to outperform your dad. That's it. That's wrong. And you will end up even more bitter. But you know what? If that is the path that he has charted, eventually at his 60, 70 years old, he's going to sit down and with his kids, he's going to tell a story of how bitter and how much he worked so hard because he wanted to prove something. Is that what you want? So if you were to look at the Bible, every man and woman of God, if you think about Nehemiah, he'll tell you his marketplace story. You talk about how I served the king, but one day, someone who went for a tour, went to Israel and snapped some picture, posted in Facebook and Instagram. And I saw how broken the walls of Jerusalem are. It caught my attention. And I decided to use my marketplace position, risk my life, so that I can rise above that and do something for God. So Nehemiah will tell you a different marketplace story. If you talk to Esther, she will tell you a different marketplace story. I was just the beauty queen. Every day my life is so happy. I was doing nail polishing, you know, mask and whatever you want, right? Bathe in the soap and, you know, whatever, and cucumber on my eyes. You know what I mean? She will tell you all the little things that she did. But one day, my cousin came to me and put me in a spot, and eventually I decided to do something, and she'll tell you the rest of the story, how she actually saved the nation of Israel. Peter will tell you a story. I was just a fisherman. So day in, day out, you know, what's the most exciting about fishermen? Big fish, small fish. So he says, for day and night, I was just today big fish, tomorrow small fish, lots of fish, you know, colorful fish, and, you know, whatever. It was just so fishy every day, right? So he said, but one day someone walked by, stepped into my boat, and then preached the gospel. And then I saw how remarkable he was to be able to connect with all the fishes. And I fished all night and I couldn't get, and he got to me. And then I followed him. It changes my life. So every man and woman of God, including you and I, after 30 to 40 years, will tell a story about Marketplace. The million-dollar question is, what's your story? How would you tell your children? How would you tell your wife? How would you tell your neighbor? How would you tell your grandchildren? And I pray that as we talk about On the Job, you're able to tell a story of honoring God. Now, because of time, I'm going to give you a big picture, and I'm going to focus only on one. So I think if we were to step into the marketplace and if we want to fight the right battle, so I feel these are the four battles that you want to fight. These are the four chapters of your On the Job that you get to tell your children eventually. You want to write a chapter about godliness, how at some point in your workplace you stood for godliness. When everybody was saying that, hey, you know what, the product was a bit inferior, but you know what, you'll make a lot of money, and man, you stood up and said, no, I don't think we should do that. And that is really a big space for godliness. Not too long ago, I was just preaching about godliness, and one of our church members, I was so moved by it. I preached on Sunday. On Sunday night, the Lord convicted him. On Monday, he did two things. Number one, he went to his bosses, and he says that, you know, there's a product in my house, actually belongs to the company. I know you were okay for me to bring back and use it, but you know what? It really doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the company. And he took that and he gave it back to the company. He says, this belongs to the company and I should not have it. He was so moved by just godliness. Secondly, then he told the company, he says, you know, we have this particular product that we sell and I think this product is not good. I'm a sales director. Can I fight for this product to discontinue and to sell? The COO and the CFO both look at him after receiving back the thing that, you know, he was so moved by his integrity. And they kind of agreed and said, you know what? Let's relook at all our product lists and take away those that we should not have it. Godliness, just that little stand for godliness. So some of you are, and I know Australia is very different. Malaysia, bribery, you know, so many different challenges, right? And so many opportunity for you to stand. But I'm sure in Australia, you have your own circumstances. You got own areas, okay? But we want to be able to write a chapter of God. Number two, we want to be able to write a chapter about grace. You know, sometimes the marketplace are not very gracious. You don't perform out, you go. Cold storage, put you out there by yourself. You know, there are just so many things. Leave And I think one of the areas that we want to be able to show is really the grace of God in every scenario. Third is to be able to write a chapter about generosity. Once you step to the marketplace, you will have, God will bless you abundance. And, you know, and I don't know, am I right to say this, but my little one week plus in Australia, from every conversation I had, I really felt like this is a good space. If you're willing to work hard, you will be blessed. And what are you going to do with that? Are you going to be able to do that by being generous to people who are in need, to the cause of the kingdom of God? And finally, you want to be able to write a chapter about the gospel, which is be able to share the love of God to your friends and the colleague that you have. Okay, now, I want to focus and talk about the gospel. All right, now, when it comes to the gospel, There is non-verbal witness, okay? Let me say this, okay? The gospel has a representation that you need to have, and the gospel has a presentation that you need to do. It has both. It has a representing part, it has a presenting part. I call that non-verbal and also verbal witness. The non-verbal, sorry, when I talk a lot, my throat gets itchy. But when I eat a lot, I don't. All right, let's read this together. One, to go. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked, twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, the Bible, Sermon on the Mount, talk about we are salt and light. I mean, the Bible is full of verses to tell us that we should shine for God. Before the verbal witness, our non-verbal witness for the gospel is very important. I just want to give you a quick contrast, okay? Sometimes, we think that the way to do non-verbal witness is to Christianize everything that we have. So, you know, you try to wear a t-shirt, Jesus loves you. Screensaver, Jesus cares. A Christian pen, a Christian eraser, a Christian shampoo, rejoice, you know, whatever, okay, you know, and you kind of go through life and trying to Christianize everything you have so that when people pass by you, oh, that's a Christian, you know, you can have all of that, but I want you to know, sometimes I cringe at that. So I still remember that when I was working for Datacraft, you know, I was a sales director for an IT for 10 years, and before I eventually had my own restaurant and, you know, all of that. But now I'm really full-time. I mean, full-time as in... Okay, never mind. I don't need to explain all of that. Okay, let me just move on. Well, I used to have a colleague of mine. She was exactly how I describe it. Her screensaver, her bag, her pen, her eraser, her everything that she wears has a Christian tone to it. Okay? He has the fish sign. She has so many of them. But when it comes to performance at work... She's one of the, I don't know how to say it, okay, but she's one of the slowest, not a team player. It was so bad that I had quite a few of my colleagues came to me in my room and said, he says, Timothy, he said, you're a Christian, she's a Christian, but how come these are days and night apart? She is not non-cooperative, and you are, and, you know, and to be honest, she was passed on to 5 different directors. And finally, my boss came to me and says, only Pastor Tim, you can handle her. So could you mind take her under your, you know, so she eventually became one of my team because I do the sales. So she became like the secretary that do all quotation, you know. And you know, when I think about that, the least that you would ever do as a Christian is try to Christianize your language and everything, but you show no the love of God into people's life. Right, those are the non-verbal. Your non-verbal weakness is very important before you actually had your verbal weakness. Okay, but I want to just very quickly jump to verbal weakness. I'm going to show you that it's actually really not difficult to shine for God in the marketplace. Okay, now let me just read this verse. It says, to that end, this is Ephesians 6, okay? So if you know the book of Ephesians, first 3 chapters, Paul was theologically trying to help us understand what Christ did for us. So he talked about faith and salvation, grace, and all of that. The last 3 chapters of Ephesians, Paul was trying to change, and because of who we know in Christ, our position, this is the practices we must have. So he talked about husband of your wife, talk about master, this is how you treat your slave, and he just went through practically. At chapter 6, he ends with the full armor of God, right? Because he was chained. So Ephesians was really his second imprisonment, or rather the first imprisonment, where he was actually chained with a soldier. So every day he got to watch the soldier. So it is in that space he wrote Colossians, Ephesians, and also Philippians, okay? And then he was released, and then he went to Spain, most probably. And then he was caught again, and then imprisonment, and then he wrote 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. At least biblically, you kind of know how to place all of that, okay? So when he was in prison, he saw the guard day and night. And then he saw the entire armor. So he kind of connects the Christian faith or element into the armor. And then he ends by asking everybody to pray for him. So this is how he says. He says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Also for me, that words may be given to me, opening in my mouth boldly. Would you say boldly? Okay. And then he says, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chain, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. You know, for Paul to actually ask us to pray for him boldly, that's huge. You know why? Because Paul is one of the most bold person I ever read in the Bible. I mean, he stood before king. He's really bold. So for any one of us to think that I'm bold enough, no, you're not bold enough. Paul understood being bold is a daily decision. So every day, I potentially be confronted with scenario where am I going to be bold for God? And this is what I like. He had this three statement that helps him to be a verbal witness. He says, number one, he says, I am an ambassador in chain. Paul never said that he was a prisoner. He says, I'm an ambassador. I happen to be in chain. I just want you to know that every one of you are an ambassador. You're an ambassador in your banking industry, in the marketplace, in the college, in wherever. Every one of you, you're an ambassador. And you've got to ask yourself, how do you reflect who God is? You know, I really like one of our church member had this little story. Okay, I'm just trying to choose which story to tell. Actually, there's just so different ones, okay? But this is one of them that before he knew God, he was really a womanizer. He was a party goer. In fact, he was the one that reorganized all the party, really. I mean, so when he came to know the Lord, his life was so changed that he went back. He used to be the champion. He used to be the, come on, let's do this. He went to all his friends. He says, from now on, he says, you know, I'm not going to do all that. So much so that his friend came to church the following week and sat in front. And this is what the friend told me. He says, Pastor, I'm here to witness which creature changed him. That was his exact word. He says, which creatures changed him. And he says, he used to be a party person, you know, and eventually this friend of his started to explore God, but he never said yes to God. But my point is, when we live a life that is so incredibly reflecting who God is, people will see. So Paul says, he says, I am an ambassador in chain. So if you know in Philippians chapter 1, Paul says this. He says he preached the gospel so much that he says the entire guards in the palace heard the gospel. Because Paul understood his calling. He was an ambassador in chain. Secondly, he says that I may declare it boldly because you need to talk about it. And I love the last phrase. He said, as I ought to speak. Everybody say ought to. You know, Paul, when it comes to the gospel, he doesn't think, I hope to. He doesn't think, maybe I can. He says, I ought to. I'm not too sure how many of us felt I ought to. I think a lot of us feel I hope to. I can, you know, maybe I like to, but I'm afraid to. But Paul says, I ought to, I ought to, I ought to. You know, if we can take on that thinking, and every opportunity, we can really get to share who the love of God is. Okay, let me end by a couple of different examples. You know, if we embrace what Paul thinks, then these are the different examples in the Bible of how people preach the gospel. So, Peter and John, Acts chapter 3, they walked past by. It was just a prayer. You know, every one of us can give a prayer to one of your friends. They come to you, you know, my uncle is so sick and, you know, he's ill and what to do. And, you know, most of the times, what we do was when people come and tell us a negative news, we try to top up even more with the negative news. Do you have people like that? For example, people come by and say, you know what? You know, COVID was so bad. You know, we were locked down. Like, if you come and say, you know, COVID was so bad, then I'll tell you, no, Malaysia is even worse. we were the longest ever locked down country in the world. Right? I try to top it up. So sometimes when people try to top it up and they cannot top it up, what do? They borrow someone's story to top it up. Hey, you know, my uncle is even worse, you know, when you know what I'm saying? We are like that, okay? Sometimes what we need to do is to offer a word of prayer. It says, maybe can I pray? And you never know, just a lot of people are just a prayer away from really encountering God, okay? Philip, it was a question. Do you understand what you're reading? That's all. That's all. He saw the eunuch. He says, do you understand? He says, no, let me explain to you. And that's all it takes. Eventually let the person, sometimes Jesus with the woman, the Samaritan, it was just a conversation. Give me a drink. It wasn't too difficult. A resolve, Daniel, he decided to not to defile himself. A testimony Paul gave to King Agrippa. A caring gesture, and it was the most powerful on the job. A slave girl in Syria who were really caught by the Syrian army, served Naaman, the wife, and at some point saw Naaman's skin disease and went to the wife and said, I wish that the master have a chance to meet the prophet back in Israel. That paved the way for Naaman to go to Israel, met Elisha, and eventually had his healing, and potentially the first time gospel ever entered into the Syrian region of that area. Can you imagine? And this is an Israel slave girl against what a pole difference of authority. You talk about just the index of the power difference. Sometimes I just take that. I want to end by one or two stories, depending on time, but this is not my favorite story, okay? Most of the time this season, I shared this story. So if any one of you would have watched our YouTube, you potentially have heard this story. But this is a story of about end of 2020. That's right, end of 2020, November, December. I was doing Discovering God, which is really something that I do to help people to connect the dot who God is. And one day I had a couple who joined. So after the couple joined, about three sessions, they text me. They said, Pastor, we would like to meet up with you. So I met up with them. So they told me the story. They said, hey, you know what? Pastor, this is our story. We came to Discovering God was because one of your church members, which is our mutual friend, we were about to get divorced. Actually, we were on our way to divorce. So we shared it to our mutual friend. Then our mutual friend said this, why don't you give God a chance? Come on, could you say it together? Why don't you give God a chance? Hey, that's not difficult, right? Is that difficult? No, that's not. So our church members say, hey, why don't you give God a chance? They both look at her and say, okay, maybe we have gone for counseling, we have gone for lawyer, we have gone for whatever. Okay, we are open to give God a chance. Then they say, hey, you know what? My pastor is doing this Discovering God. Why don't you just go join? Actually, Discovering God doesn't help you, actually, you know. But anyway, the church members say, you go for that. They went. And then third session, they text me. They say, Pastor, we want to meet up with you. When they met up with me, they say, Pastor, we decided we're going to confide to you and tell you everything. Now, by the way, I have the full permission to share their story, okay? Even if I don't, you also don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I do. Sorry, I just want to wake some of you up. I'm very ethical, sorry, okay? Anyway, so then this is what they said. They said, Pastor, they said, our marriage has been cracked for past 8 years, but the peak of it was when I found to have sexually transmitted disease. It was in a clinic where the doctor looked at both of us and said, one of you have not been faithful. I turned to him. He denied, but after that, he confessed. Then, of course, later I knew that the man had struggled with the wife, and the wife used to use cane to beat him. So for 8 years, he talked about having pillows to protect him from being caned by the wife, and had such bitterness towards the wife that he has been fooling around for years without the wife knowing. So then now the wife got sexually transmitted disease, and so the whole the whole thing collapsed. So sexually transmitted disease in a depth of 100 over 1,000. And they both shared about how the story of they were chased out by their in-laws because, I tell you what, so the amount of problem they stack it up. I'm listening to all of that and I say that this is God-sized problem. I say, you really need God. So both of them said, okay, so Pastor, how can I involve God? So I explained how to involve God means you got to invite God into your world, and then you got to do by God's principle. If God said forgive, you must learn to forgive. You know, so I kind of explained it. There's always God's way of managing everything. So I explained everything, and then I said, would you like to invite God? I said, okay, we would like. And then just before I want to pray the sinner prayer, they say, hey, Pastor, wait. Because I don't know God, can I invite God 50%? I said, of course. Or the way Australia says, sure. I'm just kidding, okay? So I said, of course. I said, you can. Then I said, okay, let's do this. Now, it wasn't funny to them, but it's funny to you and I. You know why? Then I pray a prayer, God, I invite you 50% into my life. They pray, God, I invite you 50% into my life. Forgive 50% of my sin. Forgive 50% of my sin. Help me 50%. You know, and they literally prayed a 50% sinner prayer. But it wasn't funny to them because they know nothing. They just followed everything. I prayed in Jesus' name, amen. They said, in Jesus' name, amen. And I said, you know what? I said, let's believe God to make a difference. He said, okay. Every week, I'll text them, how are things? And then they'll tell me the problem. Oh, you know, today my in-law, what should I do? And I said, okay, you should do this, you know. And then, so it kind of laborious, but I kind of did that week one. And every time I finish, I said, could we add 5% more? Then they say, okay, can, okay. At the fourth week, no kidding, at the fourth week, they met up with me. And the first question he asked is, how can I give God 100%? He sat down, tell me stories of how God came through for him. Then he turned to his wife, said, now your turn to tell your story. And then she tell her story. And then we ended up by praying 100%, saying yes to God. I just want to say this. Sometimes people are just, why don't you give God a chance? Just that little statement away for them to encounter God. My last story, and then I'll close, was a story that I spoke to some of the leaders team last night, just before we planted our last church. Our last church is at Cheras, okay? Just another location. Just at the eve before we planted the church, I led two people to Christ, Lam and Lee. But Lam and Lee, the way they know God was so amazing. So the story was this, okay? So it started with Lam. Lam is a business consultant. So he somehow came to a point in his life, he really wanted to know the truth. So while he was in the business consulting, the speaker, which is a Hindu believer, talked about how yoga helps to calm him and find purpose in life. So he raised his hand, he says, could you tell me more a little bit about that? So the speaker said, you know what, we'll talk it offline. One of my church members, his name is Wilson, he was sitting on the other end. He saw Lam interested to know about spirituality. So during the tea break, he went to Lam. He says, Lam, I saw you asking the question, are you interested? Lam said, yeah, I am searching. He says, you know what? My pastor do this thing called discovering God. Would you like to come? So Lam said, okay, I don't mind. So Lam was afraid to come on his own. Lam brought Lee. I'm low. So now, Lam, Lee, and Lo. Okay, no, I'm just kidding, okay? So Lam brought Lee. So Lam and Lee came for discovering God. And they ended up, both of them gotten saved just at the eve of us. And right now, Lee is going to be one of our singers for our new church plant in Cheras. 1-month-old Christian. So I just want you to know that a lot of people are just one invitation away. But you must have the boldness and you must have this posture. I'm an ambassador, boldly to proclaim, as I ought to speak. As we bring all this to a close, would you turn to your neighbor and say, you ought to. All right, let me pray. Lord, I'm so grateful that we get to talk about on the job, wanting to bring the gospel wherever we are. So I just pray as we surrender, as we invite you into our world, change our world of complaint, complacency, how difficult all this. Help us to have a different mindset that we're ambassador representing you. And many times, people are just one prayer, one conversation, one invitation, one chat, one connection away from really discovering you. So I just pray for this entire church that we'll give ourselves fully, wholly, as a vessel unto you, so that we shine for you, so that at the end of our 30 to 40 years, we have stories after stories of who you are through us, around us, in us, to the people. Lord, we thank you. We bless the church in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Can we give God praise for that amazing challenge from the Holy Spirit this morning? Just two groups of people I just really want to pray for this morning, based off of that challenge I really believe that Pastor Timothy issued from the Holy Spirit for us. The first group of people I really want to pray for are those of us who are in this room and hear the challenge. Maybe we've been unintentional. Maybe there's been inhibitions and fears that we may have had when God has clearly put us in situations where people around us in the workplace, at school, and even in our families, they don't know the love of Christ. And God is just saying, hey, whether it's through prayer or conversation or a resolve or just caring gestures, that God wants to utilize you. If you're here today and you're a man or a woman of faith and you receive that challenge, you say, you know what, God, I want to be used by you. I want to take a stand in the midst of this society here in Brisbane, and I want to carry your gospel well. Just as a sign of surrender to him, can I just get you to stand? If that's you, that you're saying, God, I want to be utilized by you, can you just stand to your feet? Because I want to pray for you today, whether wherever you work or wherever you're studying. Let's take a stand for him today. Awesome. Father, I just want to pray for these ones who are saying, yes, Lord, I want to take a stand literally for where you've placed me, Lord God, whether it's in my school, whether it's in my workplace, whether it's amongst my family who don't know you yet. I believe that it's by your Spirit and through your loving kindness that you draw humankind into repentance. And so, God, today we come before you, having experienced your mercy, which is new every morning. God, that you would use us as vessels of mercy to help shine the light of Christ to those who are here in today's society. Lord, as we take this stand, Lord, we know that you have called us to be the salt and the light of the world, to be that godly influence where you've called us. And so, God, right now, as we've taken this stand, we declare that our lives 100%, not 50%, 100% belong to you, and that you would utilize us for your glory, Lord God. Father, begin to, even now as we take this stand, to put people on our hearts that desperately need your gospel. Lord God, give us names, give us faces, and also give us the boldness to declare your goodness, Lord God, whether it's through our testimonies or just sharing the power of the cross. Father, we thank you today that you have called us to be the ones who would lead people towards their salvation that can be found in you, in Jesus' name. Let's all take a stand right now. The second group of people I want to pray for, maybe those of us who are here today, and you're hearing this challenge, and maybe you've been 50%, maybe you've been 25%, maybe you've been negative percent, I don't know what it is, but like today you're hearing this challenge, not just from Pastor Timothy or myself, but you're hearing this challenge coming from a God who really loves you, and he's saying, he's inviting you into 100% of his love to experience the fulfillment of your life in the message of his gospel. But a lot of it just takes giving our lives away to him. This is really what worship is. More than singing, it's actually giving our lives over to him in full control. If your response today is to say, God, I want to give you my whole life, 100%, then I just want you to lift your hands and surrender so I can pray for you today. Father, I just pray for these ones who have their hands lifted today to declare that we give you our lives 100%, wholeheartedly. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that to hear your gospel and to hear the challenge that you have given us, Lord, that life without you is pointless. And so, God, we receive your love. We receive your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, that we can lay our lives down in order that we are resurrected in the new life that you have given us, Lord. We declare today that we are completely yours and you are completely ours in Jesus' precious name. Jesus' precious name. And everyone said amen. Come on and give him praise, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. What I want you to do at this point is just take a moment right now, just to take a couple of moments, whether you want to pray for the people that are next to you or around you, or you want to take some time just to say, maybe it's taking the challenges of what Pastor Tim has issued today and just maybe taking some time to pray through that. Maybe God has issued the challenge to you. Maybe you want to respond in prayer. So yeah, I'll give you a couple of minutes to do that. If I can invite the worship team to come on up, and we're going to get ready to worship King Jesus in response.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.